I'm like traumatized right now.
What happened?
Is it okay if I talk about it here?
I mean, if you don't want me to put it in the show, like we could cut it out.
It's probably best to get it out in the open.
Actually, I think you should edit this episode so you can make the decision.
All right, this is tough. I don't, I think for the victims out there, this is good. So, like, lets the listeners know if they've been a victim that they're not alone.
Okay.
You know, that like other victims should come forward.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting really emotional. Last night, around 6:30, right before trivia. So, like, I'm trying to like sign in the trivia. I get a notification from my credit card asking if I spent $55 at Chipotle.
Oh no.
And I didn't.
So somebody, some major.
So I said, no, I responded to the Chase fraud detection thing. I said, no, it wasn't me.
Right.
And they're like, all right, we're canceling your card. We're sending you a new one. And I'm like, oh, great. And then I check my email. It's Chipotle going, we have an unusual sign in from your Chipotle account.
Oh no.
So they changed my email. They added an extra letter.
Was it X?
No, I won't tell you the letter. And then there's a phone number. They changed the phone number to theirs.
Did you call the number?
No, I didn't want to talk to these.
You should call them all the time from different phone numbers.
I screenshotted it, so I could.
We should do that on the show.
Like we wait like months. It's like such an extravagant way to get revenge,
because like you feel uneasy, we could make them feel uneasy.
So we catfish our criminals. Well, they're just outside of Washington DC.
Okay.
So that's probably why my card flagged it, because they're like, you think just it's used like your a card politician? Like I just used my card in Brooklyn like maybe a half hour before they used it. So like if it goes from Brooklyn to Washington, the credit card companies could be like, that's weird.
But here's my question. It didn't go from Brooklyn to Washington. Chipotle servers are servers. So like the charge is being made from their servers. It seems to me what happened is Chipotle probably reported fraud.
Maybe it's Joe Biden.
That's what I was thinking. Somebody used my credit card to buy dog steroids once.
Oh.
It's called...
Interesting.
I got a charge for Bully Max. And I looked it up, and I saw the most kind of depressing, ridiculous picture of, like, a bulldog that's, like, muscles are, like, way too big.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I'm all right. I'm over it.
Oh, that's good. How are you feeling overall?
What do you mean?
Show begin. Welcome to the show.
Oh, welcome.
I'm the host. I'm going to do a bad job today.
I thought I was for a second.
Last time. All right, I'm going to read off what I'm supposed to say. Welcome to Paragraph Despair.
You don't have to read it like a robot. You're supposed to just casually look at it and then like say something similar. So it's like you're like seamlessly. All right, you're definitely not seamlessly.
I'm going to do a bad job. Welcome to Paragraph Despair. I'm Anton. This is
Chris.
Good job.
I feel like you're a person that like needs like a script.
Me?
Yeah.
What is that supposed to? What is you trying to say?
I don't think you're a good ad libber. Like you can't roll off the cuff.
What do you mean?
You like to stick to the script.
I'm gonna quit this show.
Bullying
to the max. I forgot. Did you remember?
What?
We have to announce the winner for the contest from last week at the end of the show.
We announced it last week.
That was a different contest. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're going to announce at the end of the show.
I'm a bad ad libber. Stick around.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and for people who are who have never listened to this show before, which is probably the vast majority of the Earth population. Yeah, there's only like
three listeners.
We just talk about three different topics each episode. Things that we're interested in, usually like technology, culture, that kind of thing. We also keep score because we play a lot of games on this show. And the current score is tied up. 10 to 10 points. We reset every quarter.
There's a game. There's usually a game where I get back into it really easily because Anton gives away points.
I mean, you give away points too. I have 10 points.
I give away points frequently. You don't. And then like, then every once in a while, you'll give away a lot of points.
That's true. So far, we've had this is episode 14, so I wouldn't call it trend just yet.
But it's interesting that we're tied up at Tevin. It's a new number.
We're tied. That's up what happens Tevin. Every time we short the show.
We don't know how to talk. So we're tied at 7 or 10. But I think that's really interesting because of today's first topic. But Anton, maybe you better do that segue.
To the pleasantries? What? Pleasantries.
I was making note of the fact that we're tied at 10 in our first segment, which so happens to be about overtime rules.
Okay. You really...
Do you get the connection?
Barely. But I see, like, it's sports related. But I get it. We'll move to the first topic.
Well, I just wanted to point that I saw that we could do pleasantries. How was your week?
It was pretty hectic. I'd been going to the gym for a while, and this whole week I didn't go a single time except for this morning. So I'm ramping up for tri month.
Oh. Everyone's on the tri ever since I came out with the idea. Everyone's on the tri month.
It's a pretty catchy concept.
I should write a book.
You should, but you should. You start it during tri month and you don't finish it.
But I still upload it to Amazon, so when people read it, they're like, "He just gave up at the end." And then it's like, "Well, that's tri month. I didn't say I'd finish the book month."
Yeah. It's not finish. It's not complete anything month.
Yeah.
Can you give a brief description of tri-month?
Tri-month is just where you pick out one month and you just try really hard at whatever you want to do.
And you just work, so happen
life, to- both, maybe set goals, but not like goals, like you're not trying to accomplish anything. You're just looking at these objectives as something that you just want to try hard at. So you don't really get disappointed when you don't accomplish them because it's not accomplished month. You're just trying hard.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind it is like, I think New Year's resolutions are kind of stupid. Everyone usually gives up a month in anyways. So like, why don't you just be realistic with yourself and just do it for a month? And then you can pick and choose which month you want to do it. And you get to pick and choose which months you want to be lazy.
Which is all other 11 months.
Yeah, because if you know you're going to just like slob out and be a lazy, lazy turd, mm-hmm. Just do that. Just do it.
If you're going to pick a month,
you feel better about yourself because you don't feel like, you know how like when you don't do anything for a day, you feel like a real piece of crap that didn't do anything. If you know you're not going to do anything, then you don't feel bad.
Right. If you set it's out just
if to you feel, not do anything. If you don't do anything during tri month, maybe you'll feel bad. But then you can just postpone tri month to next month.
I guess it's all about managing expectations.
Yeah. Anyways, tri month changed my life. And if you want to join my group, the tri month gang, It's only $59.99 a month.
Oh yeah. We could sell tri-month t-shirts.
I think another podcast might be doing it.
Really? You stole this idea?
Oh yeah, I told you.
I wasn't paying attention.
The Hollywood Handbook podcast, I think they mentioned it once that I can recall, but like,
wow, I'm
around this time of year, the podcast, they just try at the podcast. So they try to get like guests on the show and like that could really promote the show, and they call it Tri-Month.
Wow.
But I'm taking that into my life. I never said I came up with it.
Well, I assumed you did, and I'm really upset now. I don't even want to do it anymore.
I mean, my thing, the way it evolved, is completely different than that.
Yeah, yours is just like bare minimum get through your life tri-month.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like specific, like a podcast. Yeah. Although trying hard at this podcast is going to be part of it.
Well, what do you think you're going to do to try?
I don't know. Maybe it won't. See how quickly I can back out.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of tri-month.
It's true. It doesn't say how hard you have to try. All right, well,
okay, great.
Yes, okay, great. Let's get into our first topic.
Pleasantries.
So I looked at this episode plan because we plan these things out.
I don't think we finished the plan, but I think we're gonna roll with it.
Yeah, your segment has a bullet point with nothing listed.
I got it covered.
Yeah, actually, listen, I want to just show people what we do.
You're showing the plan?
Behind the scenes. This is, look at this. One segment he had.
I like how you can still nothing. See the Have I Been Pwned?
Oh, yeah.
What if it gave out all your info?
Yeah, that would... I worry about that when I stream in the morning because I like stream and I have a lot of
because
configuration
you have
files.
All your social security and credit cards hanging on the wall.
It's my wallpaper for my desktop.
So I know
who I am. All right, segment starting. Can you describe to me what the NFL Bills and Chiefs scenario is?
So last weekend, because I'm not in tri-month right now, I'm just chilling, I'm just being lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm doing is just sitting on the couch watching football all weekend. And there's a really good game Sunday night, Bills versus Chiefs. Josh Allen, quarterback of the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of Chiefs, going at it and not making out.
Oh, well, they get more viewers.
Throwing the football back and like just they keep like the last 2 minutes, the teams combined scored like 25 points. It was just going back and it was such a tightly contested race.
Huh?
It was just the game was going to end whoever had the ball last, pretty much.
Right.
And the Bills go up with 13 seconds left, and still the Chiefs were able to get the ball in field goal range in 13 seconds to tie the game. So they go into overtime, and the way that the NFL does overtime is they flip a coin, and the team that receives or that wins the coin toss that receives the coin toss. I don't know why I can't talk
anymore. Coin toss.
Coin toss. Well, whoever receives it or gets the correct call gets the ball first. And then so the way the rules are is if you score, if the team that gets the ball first just drives down the field and scores a touchdown, game over. If they drive down the field, if they drive down the field, only kick a field goal, the other team has a chance to come back and either get a field goal and keep the game going or score a touchdown.
But it's first to touchdown wins.
Basically, yeah.
Why even go for a field goal at all?
Well, because you could still stop the other team on defense, like, and then close out the game. Postseason is a little different, but I don't think
postseason they just keep going until you have
a right. There's no ties, basically. But it's really kind of stupid because the way that the game was going, no one was stopping anybody. Like that, you know, whoever has the ball last is going to win. Like if there wasn't 13, if there was like a minute left instead of 13 seconds at the end of regulation, the Chiefs would have just went down the field and scored a touchdown. It was only because there was only 13 seconds left. They didn't have time to go get a touchdown. They could only tie it with a field goal. So like, and then everyone's kind of complaining, although the quarterback for the Bills wasn't really too upset. He was like, I would have been celebrating. I don't care. Because it's kind of just it's such a letdown of just like, oh, that's how this.
Because the coin toss they don't really even, is a big right, decider.
The coin toss basically decided the game.
Yeah.
And then you didn't even get to see the other team get a chance after. Like,
right.
It's just over. And it's just kind of, if you look at what like football, basically football's, it's like a drama show for guys. Like that's what it is. Like people get involved in the, like invested in the players, the way the games go back and forth. Like it's just as emotionally like rewarding as like watching like a show on TV.
You know? I want to argue the four guys thing.
What's the four guys thing?
You said it was a drama show for guys.
Basically.
But I think that societally, the way we've set it up, sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it needs to be that way.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm not saying women don't watch football.
I think the main thing is that anybody who watches football is probably stupid.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I am stupid.
You got the results back?
Yeah. I think the way that kind of the NFL makes it to be is it for it to be an engaging viewing experience. Or at least that's what they try to do.
Okay, well, what would you recommend they do different to fix it?
I think every overtime rule should be nice hat.
Thank you.
Just it's an extra quarter, or like, well, it's not really a quarter anymore because I guess it's the fifth one. It's an extra, you know, 10, 15 minutes. Maybe they cut it down from, because quarters are 15 minutes, but
this is televised. You know, so maybe how are overtime they do is that?
10 minutes. What do you mean?
Like the sport is televised. It has very rigid scheduling.
Yeah, but like, what do we got going on?
They got whatever show comes after.
Yeah. Oh, Bones.
Poor Bones.
I don't even think that's on TV anymore.
What do they put after football?
60 minutes, or I don't know. If it's like late, like this game was, it was probably just local news. But it's like, who cares? You just go online and get the news.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't push it back.
So you think that they should just keep going?
They should just, it's a whole, they should just put 10 minutes on the clock. Who is ever winning at the end of the 10 minutes?
But still, a coin toss is going to give favor to 10 minutes is not right, that long.
You're going to get something out of it, but you get time at least to like come back and like have, okay. You know.
Interesting. That's what you would do to fix it.
That's what I would do to fix it. I think all overtime simple. Rules should just be in an extra allotment of time. And that's then
what they do in tennis.
Because otherwise the game doesn't end. The game isn't ending in someone's favor. It's ending just, it just has a natural ending.
Sure. Well, that's a pretty simple solution.
Yeah. What do you think you should do?
Well, I mean, it isn't taking into account scheduling. I think...
What do you mean scheduling?
Well, like, maybe people want to watch Bones, and then they turn the TV on and watch Bones, and now there's more football. And they're like, well, there was a cliffhanger last episode.
Take it off TV.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing.
On NFL.com.
Yeah, I think that's actually a huge thing that needs to happen is no more TV. TV's stupid. Scheduling is stupid.
But actually, a lot of the time, like, there's post-game shows that are like a half hour long. They just cut those. Why don't you just allot the time so there's nothing immediately following it and then have something that's expendable to cut? Like,
well, I mean, in 10 minutes, what are the chances that they're going to even score? What if nobody scores? Or they tie it up after
10 minutes? Then they go another 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So I wonder if
there should be... So this reminds me, because I'm a programmer, this reminds me a lot of sorting. In programming, when you sort something, you need to take and line things up and in order. And the order in football is you want to know who's the best and who's the worst. And the way you sort is you have them play games against each other to sort themselves into that lineup of who's the best and worst. But a lot of time in sorting, what you do is if there's a more important thing that you use to determine if two things are come before the other, and then there's a less important thing if they're tied. So maybe like there's other stats that could be used past points. So like if at the end of the time, the points are tied up, they go to the next statistic, which is like maybe how many yards they ran or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my take.
No, they can't do that.
Why?
Because like a team could rush for 10 yards and like throw like 40 yards in passing, but then their defense just like goes crazy and like wins the game for them. But like, so you're letting arbitrary like stats.
This is a secondary stat. I think it would be cool because then on the TV, they can put all these stats down in the bottom. So it's not just points. That. Yeah, but now you can see like, oh, cool. And it would make new strategies too, because maybe they want to force a tie because they've been focused so much on just running the ball a lot. Something.
Okay. I don't know.
I'm thinking about excitement and you're thinking about dragging it on.
I'm thinking about fairness and practicality. Simple.
It's not fair.
It's extra time.
No sports are fair.
Look, I think all sports should be fair and everyone should get a trophy.
Like everybody's like, oh, you shouldn't do drugs because that's not fair. It's not fair to be born with certain genetics. Like,
yeah,
there's no such thing as fair.
I mean, I've heard like people say like, it's not fair. Like, Chris, it's not fair. You have that body. And I'm like, well,
the one in your closet.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, it's mine. I found them. I don't know. But other sports kind of do what I say. Basketball works the same way. I think baseball is just extra innings.
Soccer does kind of more what I'm talking about.
What does soccer do?
They do extra, but even if the extra time, it's a tie.
And you're talking about the wrong football.
Yeah, the football that actually uses your foot. But the funny thing about football.
They use your foot in football.
They do, minimally. The funny thing about football is like the word foot, I don't think it's that word in any language. Like in French, it's PA. In Spanish, it's probably something ped too, right? Did you take Spanish?
See.
Oh. That was your grade?
No, I did way worse than C.
I got a C in French. But do you know the word foot in Spanish?
No.
All right, I'm going on a tangent. But yeah, in soccer, they do overtime like you're describing, but at a certain point, they just do a shootout. But that's only in like postseason, like World Cup stuff too. Most of the time, they just let it be a tie.
So you're saying this would be a good end. All right. I might agree to this.
Okay.
You place the ball in American football. Overtime rules are you place the ball, you flip a coin to see who goes first, but it doesn't really matter because you each get a chance. You place the ball at like, I don't know, 15, 20 yard line, and they have like four downs to try to score a touchdown.
Yep.
And then it just keeps going back and forth until one of the teams can't do it.
That should just be the game in general.
Actually, it would be.
It would be over pretty fast, though, if you weren't good at it.
Yeah. Yeah, no one would rush the ball.
Why do they even do coin tosses versus like, basketball? They throw the ball in the air and you just like have to jump for it. Why don't in football they put it on like the 50-yard line and you start at the end zone and run at it? Try to get it, whoever gets it first.
You know what they should do?
We're just making this game way better.
We're just forget about overtime. We got way better ideas. They put like they set up a field goal, like a ball ready to be kicked. And the two kickers from each team start at the other opposite end of the field and they have to run and kick the ball. Whoever gets there first gets the ball.
That would be so exciting, honestly, and very dangerous to run at full speed.
They could get like way more. They could get way more creative.
Yeah,
but you know, I think overtime, extra, you know, tiebreakers. I think just in general, the takeaway is you gotta get more creative.
Yes. Change the rules every year. Well, I think we fixed football. If folks are listening to us, heed our words. And I think that's the end of that segment. Overtime rules.
Okay.
Next segment.
I watched the movie last night.
Oh, yeah? What movie?
Well, we're doing a movie review on it, and the movie is Nightmare Alley, because you saw it.
Yeah, I saw it, and I'm so curious to hear your take on this movie.
I saw it. Let me set it up for you. I saw it yesterday after work.
Okay.
don't try to line up the timelines of when I was cyber hacked. So I saw this movie at Alamo. I wanted to see it a couple like weeks ago, but like I didn't really have a chance and it kind of left theaters.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh crap, I missed it. But it got re-released at Alamo this week,
the black and white version.
Black and white version. And I was like, oh hell yeah.
Oh, I only saw the color version.
Black and white was great. It was so cool. It looked really great. And I didn't know anything about this movie going in. I didn't look it up. I mean, I knew it was a remake because I've seen the original like 15 years ago. I don't really remember it much.
I've never seen the original.
They just added it to Criterion Channel because it's part of the Fox Noir like series that they have.
Gotcha.
It was just a noir movie made by Fox at the time. But yeah, so I didn't really know anything, but like, I didn't see the trailer or anything until after the movie, I came back and I watched because I wanted to see what the color version would look like.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, it looks good. But I still like black and white just looked so much better. Like just for the tone of the movie,
yeah,
it just totally makes sense
because it's a noir. It really, I don't know,
and of the time too. Like you're not, I mean, and Guillermo del Toro uses, you know, like he makes visually pleasing movies, and like
Speaking of which,
Shape of Water and stuff like that, like always used color really well. Pan's Labyrinth, they're like very rich and vibrant looking movies, and I'm sure the color version is great. I just think for the tone and the time and like the even the I don't know, like Guillermo del Toro has like a really like he really lures you in and then gets like really mean at the end. You know what I mean?
I honestly I feel like with the chicken this is going to be a spoilerful
spoiler alert.
But right at the beginning when the what is it the geek eats the chicken, I was like, all right, this is going to be not
all
fun.
Of his movies are kind of like that, like
he'll beautifully ugly,
right? But like also like he really knows how to like turn a moment really sour and like to a really gnarly degree, like like either with like the violence or gore or like the reaction to it. Like I just remember Pan's Labyrinth being like that. Movie he made before Pan's Labyrinth, what am I thinking of?
Hellboy?
No, I'm talking about in his non-studio movies. Devil's Backbone is kind of like this.
I've never seen it.
It's really good. It's a very Pan's Labyrinth vibe, but like they'll get very cynical at the end and very like it really knows how to like kick you when you're down, so to speak. And then
because the little girl, spoiler for Pan's Labyrinth, the little girl dies in that, right?
Yeah, he's Guillermo del Toro, he's not afraid. I'll just be like, yeah, you know what?
I don't care. We're doing it.
Okay, we're doing it. He can be very heartbreaking in some of his movies. I saw the black and white version. My main critique, and you're gonna be so surprised when you hear this.
Yeah.
It's a little long. It's like two and a half hours.
Oh, the movie. I'm not surprised at all.
I just thought they could have cut like 20-30 minutes out of it. There's a lot of setup to the, like the main the rift towards the end.
Because it's like three acts. Like
you feel you know, you do feel like submerged in the sort like story. You know, you really do feel like you do really get into it, and it's very immersive and like world building, and like you get like set to this way of life, and like the whole like I feel like there's like lots of stages to the story. There's like the Carney aspect. There's like the you know,
like Bradley Cooper's character doesn't speak for like the first 25% of the movie.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I just thought they could have fine-tuned all of like the segments of his life or different areas of the movie that they're in.
What do you think it was trying to say?
I didn't think it was trying. I think the movie has a lot to do with the charlatan, dangerous hucksters, you know, flying. It's it's Icarus. You fly too close to the sun.
Did they mention that in the movie?
I don't know if they did.
Okay,
maybe I got it from somewhere.
Because he was trying to like that big turning point was when he was trying to swindle the rich people.
Right.
And people were saying like, hey, that's not a good idea.
He didn't know when to quit.
Right. He was already on the top in a lot of ways. And he had a good life.
And I think he didn't know when to like, it's like you're using, so like what his grift was really emotionally manipulating. And I don't think he realized the toll that that takes on a person.
Like himself?
Not just himself, but then other people.
Like the girl that he was with?
Yeah. And so when he is kind of at the end, spoiler, subject to the grift, it's so shocking to his system because he's just been kind of doing it to people for that long. And I think it even goes before he joined, like,
what do you carnival think?
The carny life was just like, it was the worst recipe for that kind of person. Like, he was,
sure,
based on the foreshadowing at the beginning of the movie, he's, you know, you get introduced to this character burning a dead body.
Yeah, and you're like, and whose body is that?
And it's weird how they kind of make you forget about it. Oh, I didn't. You just get so into like the carny life, and then he goes, and like,
how they get you
still are like, well, this guy was burning someone at the beginning. You don't really know who.
No, but I got the impression that the dad, because he burns his dad. And that his dad wasn't such a great person.
Was that his dad? I thought he just kind of opened the windows and took the blanket from his dad.
But it was his dad. You just said that in your description of, was it his dad?
Did I say it?
Yeah, you said, but he took the blankets from his dad. Was that his dad? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was his dad that he was freezing, because he was like...
Oh, yeah, I know that. I'm wondering about who the body was that he was burning in the house.
Oh, I got the impression that it was his dad after he finished killing him.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Maybe, I mean, that would make a lot of sense, right?
I guess, but maybe, who knows what he's been up to. He
keeps killing all these bodies and burning houses now.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of just, you see this kind of like this life cycle of like just violent lone men and like the advantages they'll take on people. And mm-hmm. like you see it in even Richard Jenkins' character at the end, you know, the millionaire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And like what he was doing to people. Mm-hmm. And like, and then when you see it kind of come full circle at the end, when he's, you know, it's just a temporary gig. And like that was what Willem Dafoe was kind of setting him up as, like, this is how you lure these really geeks, desperate people in. And like, you realize like what he was a victim to. Well, he was victim to the same anguishes that they were, but he was just reacting to it differently. He reacted by oppressing other people and getting, you know, mm-hmm. doing the grift. But he eventually becomes just like them in falling victim for the grift.
But he knows he's falling victim for it. He's laughing at the end. And he says, I was born for this. Because he picks up on the... he realizes that the guy had just drugged him when he took mm-hmm. the drink. Because that's how you get them, is you like addict him to opium.
Yeah, or alcohol. You really get him with the alcohol.
Well, he got him with alcohol. But remember, Willem Dafoe's character said you laced the alcohol with opium.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure he realized, oh, I've just... fallen for the trick. What do you think the Cyclops baby was all about?
I don't know. You think that's a metaphor?
I mean, the whole credits one was eye. Focused on the Cyclops baby.
I just thought it was kind of like this. You kind of wonder what happened to the whole Willem Dafoe world aspect of it. And it's like that close up shop. And he's now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that is interesting.
It's so kind of. It's really cool how it kind of. The movie kind of. Has all these angles and continuations like that.
Yeah.
Who I didn't even know Willem Dafoe was gonna be in this movie. I didn't know half the people that I ended up seeing in this movie were gonna be in it.
Willem Dafoe's in a lot of surprising movies lately.
Yeah.
Or he's surprising to be in movies lately.
Well, how so?
I can't tell you.
Is there another movie he's in?
Maybe.
All right. Well, anyways, Willem Dafoe is really good.
Yeah.
Everyone's really good, I'd have to say.
Yeah, we didn't even touch on Kate Blanchett's character, who...
Oh, yeah, great. She's great.
Like, in a lot of ways, I felt she's somebody who is so methodical. Like, I think from the very first moment when she met Bradley Cooper's character, she was like, I hate this guy and I'm going to do the long con on him. And she succeeded. Yeah. Because she was like, this guy can't embarrass me. I'm going to get him back.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a good long con.
You do.
She was great. So, like, a lot of mystery surrounding her. And like,
you, I think she was obsessed with power too.
I think you just have, like, I just came away with, like, I have, it's just like every character, it feels like there's just so many questions for each character.
Rooney Mara.
Mm-hmm.
Her character out of everybody seemed the most innocent, I guess.
Yeah.
She didn't really have much to her. She seemed pretty flat as a character.
Yeah.
But the Ron Perlman's character comes off as kind of like a meanie at first, but then, like, you see that he actually just cares about people.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Bradley Cooper is just all along the evil like not a good person.
Yeah, I thought Toni Collette and David Strathairn.
Oh yeah.
They're both really good.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good characters in that movie.
Yeah. And it also makes you question a lot of the movie, like, you know, did Bradley Cooper really mistakenly give him the bottle, or did he purposely give him the bottle?
Yeah, I think it was purposeful. Did he really want
that power? But
no, they show in the scene, like, he hesitates and he grabs the right bottle before he goes back.
Oh yeah,
because there was like two sets of bottles there, and he went, like, it was very clear which one he grabbed.
For some reason, I had a picture of him just kind of quickly grabbing a bottle and leaving, but maybe not.
I don't think he's the kind of guy.
The movie was kind of very deceiving. I feel like there, it moved fast, it moved slow, it moved. Like, I, you know,
oh, that's something that maybe is lost in the black and white version. In the color version, the bottles are colored very distinctly, like blue and red or something like that.
Oh, that, maybe that's why. See, but I got more mystery out of my,
yeah, I kind of want, when I saw that this movie was also out in black and white, I was like, man, I really wish I saw it in black and white, because I think it would have been way more better.
Yeah, I just think it's like there's also just like things that I, you know, when I was watching it, I was like, knowing that there's like a version in color, you're like, oh wow, I could see that in probably the color version this is probably visually striking, but in black and white it's just so not. Yeah. And like, there's definitely different, like, I would assume that we saw different things in it.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just like, there's like just certain aspects, like where blood is kind of like that, you know, the scene at the graveyard where she's covered in, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like certain aspects of that.
Right.
Probably came across differently. But yeah.
Did I ever tell you about when I watched The Godfather 2?
No.
I watched The Godfather 2 and starts out in color.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Godfather 2, it cuts between Don Vito Corleone when he's a child and when he's younger, played by Robert De Niro. And when he's older, played by Marlon Brando. And they go back in time. And when it cut back in time,
mm-hmm.
it switched to black and white. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting choice. And then it just stayed black and white for the rest of the movie, and I was like, what? Oh, it's a very interesting director decision. And then the next time I watched a movie, it was also in black and white, and I hit mm-hmm. my VCR and it went to color, and it was my VCR was the problem. So the whole time I thought it was like a director decision, but it was just my VCR was broken.
Hey, but that's your experience watching it.
Yeah, it's a lot more memorable now. Yeah.
Overall, I give this movie, I'm doing my letterbox,
mm-hmm.
3.5 out of 5.
Ooh, ooh. I'd give it a 4.
That's pretty good for I don't give 4s out like candy. I'm trying to be really using the full range. I feel like I used to just like to just like, oh, I liked it or I didn't.
Okay. I guess the way I go is 4 and above is I'm glad I watched that. Anything below,
I'm going 4, out of 5.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything below 4, I'm like, maybe I didn't need to have seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Last segment of our show today, before we announce the prize winner, is thought experiments. Do you know what thought experiments are?
Yeah.
What are they?
They're kind of like thought experiments that gauge how someone should or how you would respond to a very difficult or divisive question that has a lot of ins and outs to it.
What do you think the point of a thought experiment is?
To figure out what's either morally or ethically the appropriate way to respond to something.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
So have you heard of game theory?
Kind of, but maybe not.
Do you know John Nash in the Beautiful Mind movie?
Yeah.
So John Nash is Beautiful Mind touches on this, but he's kind of like the inventor of the idea of game theory.
Mm-hmm.
And game theory has really kind of, it comes up a lot in computer science, but especially with games. Do you know what a zero sum game is?
Yeah, like it's like you're doing something, but there's really nothing you're going to get out of it.
No, I don't know what that is.
Then I guess I don't.
Okay. A zero sum game means that there's only one winner. Okay. Really. So like football, when you don't have a tie, is a zero sum game. Only one person walks away with a win. And John Nash kind of like Beautiful Mind illustrates it a little bit, but like they talk about in the movie, like if everybody went for like the girl at the dance that was like the most attractive or whatever, or what do they call it? Not traditionally attractive, but just like, I don't know if I agree with the illustration, but basically the premise was like, if everybody went for the same person to dance with, then a bunch of people would be unhappy. But if everybody went for like lowered their standard, I guess, or like didn't go for who they wanted, then everybody would be happy, like more people would be happy.
Yeah.
But long story short, we have some thought experiments listed here, and a lot of them are kind of game theory-esque. Especially the prisoner's dilemma is actually pretty popular in game theory.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because the prisoner's dilemma, we can go into it and then we can talk about it afterwards.
I'm just going to modify our version really quick, but do you want to give us a read through of what the prisoner's dilemma is?
Sure. So you and
this hypothetical situation.
Yeah, this hypothetical situation. You and I have been arrested for robbing a Chipotle.
What?
Yes. And we're placed
in
separate cells in the prison. Both you and I care a lot more about our personal freedom, classic us, than about the welfare of each other.
Like, okay. So we're just like, we'll do anything to get ourselves out of the situation.
Yeah. And I mean, this is kind of standard operating procedure. The prosecutor comes over and says, I'm going to make an offer to you. If you rat out your friend,
yeah,
then you get off. You won't have any charges. If both people like rat each other out, then we both go. If like I rat you out, I get off free.
If we both hold our line,
yeah,
we both go free.
Is
that right?
I don't think so. I think the
because
that would be too easy. We both get a lesser sentence.
If we both hold the line.
So the idea is that
like if we both hold the line, it's a lesser sentence.
Yeah.
If either of us write each other out, one gets free, one gets harsh.
Very harsh.
If we both write each other out, we both get harsh.
Yes.
So there's a risk in trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
There's less risk in getting less of a sentence.
Yeah. And like it really comes down to utilitarianism. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that lesser sentence, like let's say it was like we each get a year in prison if we stay silent. But if one of us rats the other out, we both get like life in, or one of the other person gets life in prison, or both of us get life in prison. We rat each other out.
Well, what's for this situation? What's the prison sentences?
Let's do it. Just do a year for both silent or life. If
life in prison for Robin Chipotle?
All right, 3 years. Let's say 3 years.
I was going to say, you don't get life for Robin Chipotle. Actually, you probably wouldn't get like a month.
It's constantly rubbed.
Apparently.
So, I mean, what would you do in this situation? Would you presume, because this is where the complexity comes from. You
I'm
have
holding
to trust.
Line.
Okay.
I'm not saying anything. Okay. Because even if you take out your aspect of it, or even the desperation of me trying to write something out, I don't trust the enforcement aspect enough. I mean, this is just me personally, based on like the US justice system, to even know that if I do rat someone out, that I'm going to not get away scot-free anyway. So
yeah,
I'm always under the impression you should just never say anything.
Yeah, because when I do get out, I'm going to be so mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if we both only do 1 year at a time.
But even that's like risky, because if you do and I don't, I'm going.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
What are you doing?
I'll actually make it more enticing. It would be like, if we both rat each other out, we each get 3 years. If one rats the other out, one gets off free, the other gets 5, or something like that.
Mm, I see.
That would make it real interesting and complicated. Yeah. I mean, myself, I would...
I don't know. I'm writing you out now.
If I did something wrong, I would just say I did it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's... But the problem with, I guess, the thought experiments are, it gives you such perfect context for the entire decision that I don't think it would be realistic in what a person would actually do.
Because you don't know all the...
Right. The ins and outs and like the situation like that I think would be important.
I mean, they kind of want to tell you some of it, because that's what's going to pressure... Like if I was a prosecutor,
that's what's going to force you to make the decision.
Yeah. If I was a prosecutor, I would say like, look, if you tell us that Chris did it, we'll let you go.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stay silent, you're going to spend a year in jail.
Maybe the way to present someone these thought experiences are like, you go to someone and say, oh, hey, you've just been arrested for robbing this Chipotle.
Okay.
I can let you go if you rat out your friend.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you have to only share what you like. You can't share the reward in the like the sentencing aspect of it.
Yeah, in that situation, I'd honestly be really mad at the prosecutor. I'd be like, look, you know, I just robbed this freaking Chipotle, and you're gonna let me go out a criminal because I'm an even worse person for ratting out my friend. Like, you're letting the worst of the worst out.
Right.
But
I mean, I guess, I don't know. You know who doesn't have to worry about it? Joe Biden.
Why? Because he can just pardon himself?
He hacked my Chipotle. Oh.
So
that conversation at the beginning is going to be really important to put in for context.
Yeah. You're going to have a fun time editing this. I think, like, I don't know. Editing's cool, because it's like collaging. So maybe you could do a dream sequence and a cut back to us talking about Joe Budden.
I'm gonna do this whole episode in black and white.
Oh, you should. Maybe you do it when we talk about Nightmare Alley.
Maybe.
All right. So that's one thought experiment. Here's another one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to present this to you, so you have to make the decision. This is a really classic one. I'm sure everybody's heard it.
I didn't even read this one.
Well, you wrote it. Did you just copy paste it in here?
Maybe.
Okay. So a lot of these are utilitarian, which is like good for a small group, or good for a big group of people, but bad for like an individual. And this is just like that. So imagine you're at the controls of a railway switch and there's an out of control trolley or train coming. The tracks branch into two. One track kills five people. The other kills one person. If you do nothing, trolley will smash into the five. So And you're at the controls. So like you doing nothing is a decision.
Right. You just gotta kill the one, right?
Yeah.
Or I run over, I personally interview all of them. And say, what's the worst thing you've ever done?
No, that's a variation on this. What if that one person is like a doctor or something?
The one person is like a doctor that saved thousands of children.
Yeah.
And the other five are like, you know, people that hack into other people's Chipotle accounts and to get free Chipotle.
This reminds me of a thought experiment.
All five of them were accused, arrested, and convicted at one point for hacking Chipotle. Into people's Chipotle accounts. And then the other person is the doctor that saved hundreds of children's. Like, yeah, I guess I'm gonna run over the five.
Yeah, and if any survivors, you run out there and finish them off.
But do I have the power to make that decision?
Yeah, you're the person at the controls. What do you mean by that? Do you have the power?
Well, what if it's just something like the five people are like, you know, they like the current NFL overtime rules. Nothing wrong about that. And the one person there agrees with me in the overtime rules.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's like a bad, it's not unethical to like those rules. But because of my personal opinions and prejudices, I'm going to now instead kill those five people because they just disagree with me.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question. Like, how do you value a life? Are all lives equal?
What's the level of what's the ethical guidelines that you have to make this decision? Is it something as small as that, or does it have to be big scale? Like whether or not they're good or bad people.
I mean, chances are, if you're at the controls, you don't know that.
Like, what if it's five nuns, but they're all in their 90s?
And it's like, why are nuns so good? What are they doing?
I don't know. Maybe they did a lot of work. But then, like, the one person's like a 19-year-old, but, like, you know, he's like really lazy and doesn't do anything. He's like kind of a jerk. Mm. Makes fun of, like, you know, your haircut a lot.
Do you think that, I guess what I'm getting from you very clearly is that you think some lives are more valuable than others?
I don't think that. Well, maybe I do. I don't know. This is the dilemma.
I mean, I think that if you had to shoot, I mean, the classic one is like,
you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to do what the NFL does. I'm going to flip a coin.
Oh, you're going to abstain from a decision? You're going to cop out?
Hey, I'm not copping out. I'm giving them all a fair shot.
That would be an interesting way to like run a business. Like people come with their, they just flip a coin. You're like, yeah, we'll do that now. I don't want to make a decision.
Isn't that what Two-Face's character is?
Yeah.
He gets a coin that doesn't actually have two sides.
No, it does, because it has a scratch on one of them.
Oh, that's right.
If it was a, which, it's such a stupid thing. So they're like, yeah. Oh, he has a coin with two faces on it because his name is Two-Face.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to make it so it's binary, so we'll put a scratch in one. So it's like already, it's like,
why don't you just get a regular quarter?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Or cent piece or dollar.
Yeah.
I think what we learned here today was Two-Face is stupid.
Yep.
What's your thought? What's your thought process on the trolley?
Well, I have a little bit of an anecdote that I think is, when I was in a creative writing class,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, creative writing classes are crazy because
right.
the things people write about, very interesting. In this class,
especially people that have never written before.
Oh yeah.
Because they don't, it's like this total unleashing of everything that they think is writing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like, and then you don't realize how much of themselves they're giving away.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And they have no filter. So they're just like, it's like the subtext of like, oh,
yeah.
A lot of information about yourself.
Yes. And that's exactly this incident. Not incident, but when I was in creative writing class, I don't even remember the person's name. But the story was, the guy had a son. It was like a autobiographical. No, I don't think it was autobiographical. But basically, the story was this guy has a son, and he loves his son so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like some super crazy virus that's killing everybody on Earth. And the doctors say, we found out that your son's blood can cure this disease. But in order for us to cure it for the whole world, we have to take all his blood. And the guy has to make a decision.
Which first is effectively off, I don't know if that situation's ever going to happen.
But it was like, so the person in this case who wrote it was very religious, and it was like a Jesus kind of God sacrificing Jesus for the world situation.
Right.
And it's basically the train trolley problem.
Right.
But in this case, you actually know a little bit, like, do you value your one son that you love so much or all these strangers? And the guy had to make a decision. I think he ended up sacrificing his son in the story. Which is also like with the Abraham story too.
Yeah.
But it's similar. Abraham was just like,
story as old as time.
Do you love your son more than you love God? And he's like, I love God more. But I don't know. That is just an interesting variation on the train trolley. I think that should be the example, actually. I don't think it should be the train trolley. It should be the sun blood experience.
Oh, the sun blood.
Any other thoughts?
Nope.
On this one? All right. Well, that was fun chatting through thought experiments. Do you think that... Uh-oh.
What happened?
I don't know.
Video chopping up?
Well, no. Alyssa said something, but I can barely hear.
Yeah, I heard something, but it didn't last long.
Yeah. Oh, she's on the phone, I think. Hopefully she's not saying anything she doesn't want on the show.
I can cut it out.
Okay. One quick question before we finish the thought experiment. Oh my god, we're recording. All right, hang on, I gotta shut this door.
It's all right, it was a good time to stop.
Do you think that there's only like a handful of like unique thought experiments, and then like everything else is just a variation of these, like the prisoner's dilemma and train trolley
Bible stories?
Yeah, Bible stories are basically a lot of thought experiments.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's like, because it's kind of like the you know, the saying, like, there's only so many stories.
Yeah.
And there's really only so many. In a way, it's the big part of Nightmare Alley. There was only so many things that have happened to people. It was so easy for him to kind of read people because he just assumed people had a, you know,
yeah,
a father like him, like a father that was like a drunk or something.
Yeah.
Or like a mother that didn't, whatever. Like, there's only so many kind of situations, and they're common problems, either not literally or, but maybe figuratively, that people make every day.
Yep.
And I think there's really only so many because there's really only so much in the world that are, you know, there's only a certain extent to like, we can solve these problems. Like, you know, you're at work and you're making a decision that makes your life easier and makes five other people's lives harder. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Like, it's the same thing at just a lesser scale, but like, it's one of these handful of decisions that people frequently make. And when you translate that to like higher stakes, they become these kind of thought experience. But
yeah, that's a really good analogy there. Like that whole, Orson Welles talked quite a bit about how, like, he had been trained a little bit on how to do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you read, if you get a big enough crowd of people, you can be like, oh, somebody's got a grandmother. And they're like, oh, I have a grandmother. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same. Like, I remember reading a book in college, Reply All to a Story about it, Charlatan, about the guy that, I mean, it's a little different. He basically convinced people that goat testicles like cured all these diseases and stuff. And he was such a grifter and got the attention of so many, but because you're able to tap into like people's insecurities and like,
yeah.
And a lot of it is like this. It's all going, we're all just taking advantage of each other's insecurities for our own personal gain in some way or another. It's like,
that's basically how I would exclusively describe my behavior.
Yeah. We're sociopaths.
Yeah. It's the only way I know how to interact with people.
Yeah.
Just take advantage of their insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with that, I guess it's probably about time to announce the prize winner.
Oh, who's the winner? Of
last week's prize. It looks like our winner this time is Susan Denham from Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, it's not Jeff?
No. Jeff was last week's winner.
I just thought maybe he'd win twice in a row.
Maybe he could in a future episode. But congrats, Jeff. For last time. But congrats, Susan, for this time.
We're still like really into Jeff.
Yeah. I mean, he was our first prize winner. That's a big deal.
I don't know. I think we should cut Susan out and just give the prize to Jeff again.
Do you want to put it to a vote?
Nah, we'll let Susan off. All right. We technically gave it to her.
Yeah. Gonna lose a listener. All right. Well, have a great rest of your day.
Thanks.
Bye.
See ya.